Well, I'm just going to say it. If you're a marketer who thinks that trends are inauthentic, then that is a sign that's telling me you don't know how to use trends strategically in a content strategy. Because the most popular way that brands use trends are to make a relatable joke, to create that connection. And I believe that there's a lot of people who think that's the only way to use them. But there are more strategic ways. Relatability is one. Educating is another way to use trends. Sharing your brand values and mission. Telling story. And the last one, the most important, my favorite, is for sales. Using trends to promote your products or services. That is like the best way to use them, because it comes across as more subtle and adapted to the TikTok culture.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wanted to master TikTok, maybe transforming your ideas into viral content, or perhaps elevating your brand to new heights on this short form video platform? Maybe you've wondered about the ROI of TikTok, especially if you've been reading the news lately. If you're nodding along yes to me, well, today is your lucky day. We are beyond excited to host Wave Wild, an expert in the realm of TikTok marketing, known widely as the Queen of Trend Alerts. Wave's going to be telling her story from sparking these trend alerts to sculpting impactful digital strategies. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Wave, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat all things tickety talk.
That's great. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, we're so excited to have you as well. And if you don't know who Wave is, you should. Because Wave is a TikTok marketing and trends expert. She has helped thousands of creators and business owners grow their TikTok accounts with a content-first and community approach so they can make more impact and more profit. With a background in personal branding, Wave launched a brand on TikTok as the Queen of Trend Alerts, which then started the movement of trend alert style videos that has become a mainstay within the social media industry. Wave has participated in creator community programs with TikTok and YouTube and regularly appears in national media, top-rated podcast, and social media summits. Wave, thanks so much again for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is so excited. I know a lot of our audience is interested in this and I can't wait to ask questions, but I do want to do a big shout out to our friends over at Ecamm who sponsored the show. You can find out more about them by going to ecamm.com/Jeff. You can save 15% if you use the code Jeff15. That's ecamm.com/Jeff. And also they have got this thing coming up. Yes, it is Leap into Tools and Tactics. I'm going to be talking about Beyond the Stream, leveraging AI for creative showmanship and strategic repurposing. It's actually going to be happening the end of this month on April 24th through the 26th. You can find out more if you go to leap.ecamm.com. It's not just me speaking. There's a ton of other people and they don't look as surprised as I do as in this picture, but it's going to be a great show. So go to leap.ecamm.com. Some great training. I hope to see you all there. So really quickly, let's jump right into this because this is the question that so many people are wanting to talk about. And you've probably been asked this question so many times, Wave, about this potential TikTok ban. And, you know, I'm really interested to know, you know, like with all this uncertainty, what should businesses do? Should they worry? Should they change their content strategy on different platforms? What are your thoughts on this potential TikTok ban?
Yeah, well, I think that you never want to rely on one platform for your business because we know that all of these platforms are rented space and you don't own your followers. So you always, whether there's band talk or not, you always want to be focusing on building your email list. This is an absolute must. I'm really, really big on using TikTok to list build. I have trainings on that. As for the ban, you know, I'm not so concerned. I really think this is more of a political topic. Being in the election year, it's clear this is not an issue about privacy and safety. We all know that Meta sells our data to China. But right now, if you're wondering what is going on, the bill is still in the Senate, and there's absolutely no rush to pass it. This could take years. We don't know. There's a lot more senators in opposition of this bill, and TikTok and all of its U.S. investors are pouring millions of dollars into lobbying efforts. And I just want to mention that actually it was yesterday, TikTok released an economic impact report. So you can go check that out. But it's saying that the platform generated $14.7 billion for small to medium-sized businesses last year, and a further $24.2 billion in total economic activity supported through small businesses' use of TikTok. There's all kinds of other stats in there, but that is absolutely mind-blowing. So of course, you know, they are on a campaign to promote TikTok and not have any issues with this. But those are some of my thoughts on the ban and where it's going. I think, you know, in the creator world, from what I'm hearing, people are not as concerned. We have been, you know, there's been a talk of a ban for about the last 2 to 3 years. We keep seeing this and then it goes away. So I don't think there's a lot of concern right now.
That's very, very interesting. Now, I told you I do this because I hear something and then I go on a rabbit trail. So sorry, Connor, for your next question. But you mentioned, you know, and we've seen it, people in the community. We had our good friend Leslie Samuel not very long ago got his entire YouTube channel shut down because it was hacked. And there was this huge thing. And, you know, it got everybody really thinking, okay, what you just said about being on rented land. And I want to know, and I know you said you had training on it, so you don't have to go into deep detail. And I know people can go to your wavewild.com, and that's spelled WYLD.com, to check out your trainings. But other than just having like a link in bio kind of thing to get people on your email list, what are some, like, you know, ideas or strategies that you like to tell people to use? Because I know everyone just says go to link in bio, but it's got to be more than that to kind of build your email list off of TikTok.
Yeah, well, you can think of promoting your email list as a promotional piece of content. So you want to make some content that promotes whatever your lead magnet or your freebie is so that you can build your list. Live streaming is also very, very powerful for list building, and you want to use the pinned videos feature. So once you've made some sort of video that promotes your lead magnet, it explains to people why they should get it, what they're, you know, what the results are going to be, then you want to pin that video, because when people visit your profile and they're coming to check you out, they are highly likely to watch those pinned videos that appear at the top of your page.
That's a great, great piece of advice.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, in this landscape, ban or no ban aside, short form content is really king right now. And I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. I kind of only see it picking up, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn, right? Might be starting a video kind of first platform as well. Wave, what I'm interested in knowing is the evolution of short form content. How do you see it evolving? Do you see it more as people are just creating short form content and kind of posting across all of these platforms that allow it? Or is it really about finding the platform that makes sense for you, and short form content really is just how we post content now?
Well, there are definitely a lot of people who are repurposing short form videos everywhere because they just want to maximize that type of content. However, one thing you do need to consider is that not all platforms are the same. They have different algorithms, different audiences, different culture. So that doesn't always work for people. And I see that it doesn't work for some people. But when it comes to like the evolution of short form, I don't think it's going anywhere. Like you said, LinkedIn announced this week it's testing a vertical TikTok like feed. I posted about this on my threads and people were upset. People did not like that. I was surprised how much hate there was on LinkedIn. They don't want this vertical feed. I think it would be amazing and cool. And then, you know, Wednesday this past week, Meta announced this new video player across its social network. That's, I don't know how it works. I haven't seen it, but it's going to recommend reels, long form and live videos like in one vertical format. I would love to see what that looks like and how that works. But, you know, all the platforms have adopted it. I wouldn't be surprised to even see some sort of new platform with short form video pop up, because people just love this bite-sized, you know, snackable type of content.
So it was interesting that you said that about Meta, because when that came out, I, you know, my friend Chris Stone does a lot of, you know, video podcasts. And I asked the question, should we start streaming vertically? Because if this new Facebook player is going to be vertical, you know, so I don't know. Like, this is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, because is it going to change the format? Is it, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, it's really interesting how this short form video content is going to kind of go through these ecosystems. Well, I'm going to bring up some comments from our friends. Gary Stockton says, the one thing I will say about TikTok is they're super responsive to brands. They got us a check mark within 24 hours. Facebook, ? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you, are they, have you noticed they've been really responsive to brands too, Wave, when you've dealt with them?
Yeah, because they want to encourage more brands to be on the platform, to use the platform, to create content, to use TikTok ads, all of that stuff. So they are very more customer focused there.
Mm, good to know. This is a great question. And since we mentioned Leslie and not building your, you know, everything on rented land, Wanderlust Walking Tour says this, it might be off topic for today's talk, but I'm interested in thoughts about protecting your content on TikTok, because I'm seeing lots of my videos being reposted there from my other YouTube channel. Have you noticed, I guess, theft of content happening a lot? And is there anything we can do about it, Wave?
I have noticed this across every platform, creators saying that their content is stolen, it's reposted on Facebook Reels, everywhere. So unfortunately, this seems to be a problem in the whole industry. I know one thing that a lot of creators do is they put their own watermark in the content where it cannot be removed, or where it's very visible in the middle, it can't be cropped out. I know that, you know, some people still repost it even with the watermark. And unfortunately, I would say TikTok is really lacking in helping creators with this issue. I also hear the same things for Facebook. I see it all the time. People come to me and they say, someone just took all my account, my videos, they're reposting them on Facebook, we're reporting it. This is where, you know, I think there's the content creator / lawyers. The lawyers who focus in content creators have a lot of potential there to help people. So I would like to see kind of some support there and more support from the platforms, because it is such a big issue.
Yeah. So I know as a Amazon influencer program, I know Connor and I are both into that. And one of the things, there is a lot of an easy way for people to steal your content off Amazon and then post it to their YouTube channel. So one of the best practices for us is to post to the YouTube channel first and then to Amazon. And that way, if they try to steal it, it gets the content flagged over on YouTube. Do you think there'll ever be a thing like that, which YouTube has, which is really, really pretty good? I mean, it'll flag people trying to steal your content. Do you think TikTok is maybe working on something like that, where it can actually, you know, flag content that's being stolen as easy as, like, kind of like YouTube is?
I don't know if they're working on something like that. I would probably suspect that that's not a huge priority for them right now. I do see, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of support for creators. I myself have had, I think I've probably got at least 30 duplicated accounts on TikTok and haven't had them removed. But, you know, I think it's really important to educate as well, you know, your audience that this is my only account. You know, we're seeing a lot of that on TikTok. This is my only account. If anyone's ever asking you for money, that's not me. Be very careful out there. Be very diligent. You know, more of that education, as we're seeing a lot more of this theft.
Yeah, that can be really frustrating. One of the things Gary said, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this. He goes, you can also disable Stitch and disable others to share in stories. Do you recommend that, or is that a good way to prevent it, or is it harm your content more than it helps, I guess?
I mean, you can play with those settings and experiment and see if it helps. Although, you know, if people want your content, they're going to take it. It is so easy to just copy the link and use the watermark removal tool. There's lots of them out there. And a lot of people do that and then just cut your video in if they want to react to it or that sort of thing. So at the end of the day, I think if people want it, they're going to take it. They're going to find a way, whether it's got watermarks all over it or whatnot.
Right. You don't want it stolen, don't put it out there, I guess, is what it comes down to. Yeah.
Wave, you know, you brought up a great point that I think resonates with us all, and we always talk about it on this show, of the importance of knowing you're posting on something that is rented land. You're building a community on rented land, the importance of building your email list. But let's say there's a creator out there who's, they've just only been focusing on TikTok. They've neglected all the other platforms. They've neglected building their email list because if you want to build an audience, right, they went all in. They're spending all their free time on creating TikTok content. Now, if they've neglected those other platforms, what would you say they should do for the next, you know, I don't know, 6 months or whatever to focus on growing themselves outside of the TikTok platform?
Sure. Well, I see a lot of creators who are, you know, putting out personal messages saying, you know, we don't know where this platform's going. Go follow me on Instagram. Go sign up for my email list. Go do all of these things. And yeah, sure, that might help. You know, if you want to do that, you can. But yeah, it's all about diversifying. But I think the most important thing, I can't say it enough, is just email, 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 build your list. If you don't have a list and you want to get started with email marketing, that's going to be something you're just going to have to learn as a content creator. Because remember, as a content creator, you are a business owner. You are a personal brand. You're an entrepreneur. So you have to treat it like a business. So that's just another thing that you should start adopting into your business and thinking about, what would your email newsletter look like? What do you have to offer people? What value do you have? Why would people subscribe? You know, answering all those questions to figure out what your email newsletter would look like.
Great points. Oh, by the, this is a perfect segue to, I mentioned earlier the leap into tools and tactics that Ecamm's doing. One of the speakers is none other than Liz Wilcox, who is excellent at email marketing and is also a current contestant on Survivor. So she's there doing that, but she's going to be one of the speakers at Leap. So make sure you go to leap.ecamm.com. Liz is amazing. She's a good friend. And yeah, so go check out her thing at Leap for Ecamm. One of the things I wanted to jump into next is, because this is your jam, this is what you are really, really good at, is these trends that you have done on TikTok. So can you kind of approach how you identify emerging trends on TikTok? Because I mean, I think you come out with some almost every day. Like, it is amazing how you have so many trends and you find and explore these trends that are happening on TikTok. So can you talk a little bit about how you identify these?
Yeah. So first of all, it comes with consuming a lot of content, which probably a lot of people don't want to do or don't have time for, which is why they come to me. But yes, you can scroll on your For You page and find trends. But first, I really want to identify what a trend is, because this is such a nebulous thing, right? Trends can mean so many different things. Like, as an example, last summer, people were jumping off boats and making a video showing them jump off boats. Like, that was a trend. But, or the mob wife aesthetic, right? That is a trend. But there's fashion trends, right? But those are not really the types of trends that I talk about, or the ones that you want to pay attention to on TikTok as much. I really help, you know, business owners find ones where you would use the sound, like you have to use the sound and perform some sort of action in the video. That is what makes it a trend. And the whole idea is that you put your spin on this trend. And these are the lifeblood of TikTok. They will never go away. Lots of people make original content, but you also want to make the trending content too. And there are a lot of different types of trends. We have everything from CapCut templates, photo carousels, transition trends, trending effects, dance trends, challenges, and my favorite, the POV trends. So keep this in mind. That is kind of what defines the TikTok trend culture. But back to your original question, keeping up with pop culture is going to help. Celebrity culture, news, Gen Z slang. This is very wise because this is a lot where the trends originate. They originate from Gen Z. And also being aware of, you know, pop culture consuming content is really key for identifying the trends and knowing what will become popular. Because, you know, it all comes down to how adaptable it is. So that's how I know, like, if it's really going to trend, because the more adaptable it is, the more people will participate and the more popular it is. Now, with all that said, there's also two other things you can check out. There's the TikTok Creative Center. If you just Google that, it will display trending hashtags, trending topics, trending videos, trending music, all that kind of stuff. And then inside the app, we have a new tool called TikTok Creator Search Insights that will help you identify trending topics in various verticals.
So I guess I should probably not do a trend on my Trapper Keeper back in the day in the 80s. Nobody got that. Connor didn't even know what that was.
I got it. Okay. It wasn't funny. I was going to say to you for a Gen Z slang term, Jeff, you give me major ick, which is a good thing. From what I've been told.
Yes.
You're welcome. I think when it comes to the trends and things like that, Wave, you know, how does someone like incorporate it into their marketing strategies? I guess from a perspective of you have your content calendar, right? And you're kind of focused on, you know, what you're going to be posting, but then a trend could come up and kind of throw a wrench in it. So how would you, you know, tell creators to either plan for the trends? And then more importantly, I think, how do you actually hit a trend, but staying in your brand's unique voice without deviating from what you want to be perceived as?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about, you know, staying in your brand voice, because the whole idea with these trends is that you want to adapt it to your niche, your brand, what you are known for. So it can kind of stay on brand and you still do the trend. That is the whole point. Like, consumers and viewers, they want to see how a brand puts their own spin on it. So it's, you know, not about, you know, TikTok's not about creating or curating an aesthetic image. It's not the highlight reel for Instagram, right? It's more about being real. So that's what I would say, you know, about, you know, if they're losing their brand identity. I can't even remember what the first part of the question was.
No.
About the trends.
About like planning for trends, right? Especially when you have like a marketing or content calendar.
Yeah, I think it's important when you have a content strategy or marketing calendar that it is not set in stone. I always say this, your content plan is not concrete. It's not set in stone. You do need to be a bit flexible with it, because when a trend comes up, you do want to jump on that trend, especially if you think it's going to really help leverage your brand. So, you know, it's just not as concrete as maybe other platforms. And that is just the way that it is with TikTok, right? You have to stay on top of things.
Another question on trends, like how many is too much? Like Abby says, how do you stay authentic and genuine when participating in a lot of trends? Because she says, she's my daughter. She says, I probably should do a dance, which probably is not going to happen.
You should not do it. Doctor shouldn't put that video.
Yeah. So, is there a number you should try to hit, or is there like you hit? I mean, that's the question. Is like, how do you stay authentic with those trends when you're doing a lot of them?
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to say that there is a really fun, cool trend right now, and it's to the New Order song, Blue Monday. It would be perfect with your daughter. Just search it on TikTok. You'll see what I mean. Okay. I am a huge, huge New Order fan. So it almost hurts to see it being used in a trend this way, but it's a really funny trend. It would work perfect with your daughter. So go just check it out.
Okay.
But I like to think of trends, you know, as the top of the funnel content. They are really great for visibility and brand awareness. Yes, you don't want to do trends so much that people, you know, don't even understand what you do. I think I went to an account the other day, and this woman said in the bio that, I don't know, she was some sort of like maybe a divorce coach, but then none of her content related to divorce coaching at all. It was like trends and funny dance videos. And I was like, what are you doing? You know, but brands definitely want to leverage them. They're that top of funnel content for visibility and brand awareness. So, you know, you want to have a good variety of content, different types of content, educational, like the hacks and the how-tos and the demos. And then, you know, you also want to have the trends, and maybe you want to have some UGC content in there as well. So a really good variety of content is what you want to have.
So you mentioned user-generated content. So how do you use that? Because I know you have a section on it even on your website. So can you explain to people what that is, and specifically inside of TikTok?
Yeah, so there's a lot of creators who call themselves UGC creators, user-generated content creators. They make content specifically for brands to use, short-form videos to use all over the short-form video platforms. So they run as a business, they hire themselves out, and they're making ads and videos for these brands. They are not necessarily posting them to their account like an influencer would. So they're not leveraging their own audience or their own personal brand. They are making videos for brands. So this is very, very common. A lot of bigger brands tap into this. And this is one of, you know, the tough things I see with bigger brands coming to TikTok is kind of figuring out what are they going to post and who's going to post it. The big, really popular brands have a social media manager who runs the account, who creates the content. You know, we've probably all seen Duolingo. The social media manager of that account is famous for being the social media manager and running that account. So you need to figure out, like, if you're a brand trying to get on TikTok, do you have, you know, a social media manager, a marketing team? Who's going to create the content? What is that going to look like? Are you going to incorporate some UGC content if you have the budget to pay people to make videos? So I hope that answers the question and that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little different because I know a lot of times user-generated content was like for Instagram, you try to get people to take pictures of your product and then you would use it and post it on your feed. This is more almost like a paid brand ambassador, like you're paying them for content. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's definitely changed. The definition of UGC content has changed over the past few years, whereas brands were trying to get like actual real customers who use the products to endorse it through some sort of contest or challenge, whereas now it is more like you can hire people. So it's all made to look authentic. However, it's not necessarily truly authentic because that person like did not actually go to the store, buy the product, use it. Maybe they're actually just kind of creating ads for brands.
Do those people who create the content, are they usually influencers first? And then this happens to them that where they get paid to do this user generated content?
Sometimes, but this is actually this is crazy. This is a really popular career choice for Gen Z, you know, as a side hustle to make a little bit of extra money in university or college, that sort of thing. It is really, really popular with the younger generation. And I think it's because they just have such a natural ability to create short form video. For us older people, us older folks, it can be quite challenging. We did not learn these skills in a marketing class in high school, how to create short form videos that grab attention and sell a product, any of that kind of stuff. It seems very intuitive to them. They grew up with cell phones and cameras and being on cameras. So creating short form is definitely a skill and a practice. And it's just much easier. And that's, I think, why there's so many younger content creators doing this as their full-time business, a full-time job. That is the dream, to be a full-time content creator. I see this all the time. Travel the world, have your own flexibility, become a full-time content creator. So there's a lot of young people selling that dream as well. And, you know, there's a whole industry built around coaching and becoming full-time content creators.
Yeah, I totally agree. Carrie says, I can totally see Jeff and Connor doing a Blue Monday trend video. Well, don't hold your breath there, Gary. Yeah. Gary says it's definitely a skill. Short form requires a lot of short clips and cuts and interesting angles and a catchy dance. Yeah. So it is I totally get it, Gary. It is a skill set that it takes a while to pick up on, I think. One of the questions I do want to, before we kind of move on to some other things, is how do businesses figure out which TikTok trends have staying power versus ones that like are like they're a trend for a day and then it's gone? Is there a way to kind of suss out what, you know, that's going to be a good one, it's going to last for a little bit, you should kind of, you know, you should probably do it for your brand?
I would say, first of all, trends don't have a lot of staying power on TikTok. They last maybe a week at most. You will know it's blowing up if you see it all over your For You page, like the New Order dance. You will know if it translates to Instagram. I'm now seeing that trend all over Instagram Reels, the Blue Monday dance where you fight each other and bop to the beat. So that's how you know, like, you got to get on that one ASAP because it's currently trending.
Gotcha. It takes me a week to even think of an idea, but that's interesting.
At first I was going to say, I don't think we should do the Blue Water, but now if it's me fighting Jeff, we might have to.
Might have to do that. Yeah.
So you talked about Duolingo, which I think is probably one of, if not the most famous, you know, TikTok success story. We all know the bird. We all know the social media manager who kind of created that and just exploded on TikTok with all of that. But Wave, could you have any other examples that kind of come top to mind when it comes to brands and businesses being successful who have capitalized on these trends?
Ryanair is another one I love to watch. They really make the airplane the main character in all of their videos. They do a ton of trending content, some promotional. They incorporate different video formats. They use the photo carousels. They use green screen a lot of effects. So it's very adapted to TikTok culture. Scrub Daddy is another one, just hilarious and sometimes downright borderline inappropriate type of stuff going on, but very funny. Crocs is another one. They do a really good job with collaborations, trends, humor. Washington Post, they kill it with the skits. You've probably seen some of those. A lot of the beauty brands are really good, like Glow Recipe is killing it with the photo carousels right now, and using a lot of that type of content. So overall, I'd say all of these really not only capitalize trends, but adapt their content to the culture of TikTok.
Love it.
That's great. That's some homework for all our viewers to go and check some of those out if you're not on TikTok very much. So that's really great. So what would you say, Wave, to, and I know you probably get this all the time, to marketers who are really skeptical about jumping on TikTok trends for fear of appearing inauthentic? Like, you know, Connor made fun of me being the ick factor, like, you know, cringy or whatever. I know that's a fear for a lot of people. Like they're scared they're going to look like an idiot or be inauthentic to their brand or their company or whatever. So what do you tell marketers who say that?
Well, I'm just going to say it. If you're a marketer who thinks that trends are inauthentic, then that is a sign that's telling me you don't know how to use trends strategically in a content strategy, because the most popular way that brands use trends are to make a relatable joke, to create that connection. And I believe that there's a lot of people who think that's the only way to use them, but there are more strategic ways. I actually teach 5 ways. Relatability is one. Educating is another way to use trends, sharing your brand values and mission, telling story. And the last one, the most important, my favorite, is for sales, using trends to promote your products or services. That is like the best way to use them, because it comes across as more subtle and adapted to the TikTok culture.
All right. So this next section is going to be a lot of fun, because I know a lot of people have questions about this, and it has to do with leveraging short form video. But I also want to do another big shout out to our friends over at Ecamm who helped sponsor the show. You can actually use Ecamm to create vertical content. I've done that before for shorts and stories and all sorts of things. You can do it, you know, right in your, you know, on your Mac workstation. And you can find out more about Ecamm if you go to ecamm.com/Jeff. Use code Jeff15 to save 15% on your first order. One of the things, if you haven't used it before, is a little hack. If you know you're going to do the trial, and if you like it, use that code to like get the yearly plan, because you'll save a significant amount of money. So don't just waste it on a monthly thing. Do the whole thing. So anyway, ecamm.com/Jeff. So leveraging short form video, regardless if you want to get on TikTok or not, short form video is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. I remember the arguments of like people were just so hacked off that they had to turn their phone. They liked the old way, the 16:9. And one of the things is it's storytelling. Gary mentioned it earlier. It's a skill, being able to tell a story in that short amount of time. So how can you like talk a little bit deeper, Wave, on how storytelling, particularly through the video, and then you have really mentioned photo carousels, kind of has changed the game for brands on TikTok. So can you tell how you can use especially the photo carousels to storytell on TikTok?
I'm a big fan of storytelling. You can do storytelling through lots of different short form video formats. Photo carousels are a really easy one. I've talked about this in a recent summit. They're easy because, you know, a social media manager, someone on your marketing team can create them without having to show up on camera. They can be used for education, promoting products, all those things. But the one thing I want to point out about photo carousels is that they are not the same as Instagram carousels. Mm. Right? On Instagram carousels, it's really common we see these, you know, aesthetic designed Canva graphics. On TikTok, they are more of the selfie style or random photos on your iPhone where you put text on screen and music. So when it comes to storytelling, you can just use them, you know, you can, I think, post up to 35 of these. TikTok actually recommends at least 4 to 6 of these, of the photos, and use them to tell a story. So I'm unfortunately not able to share examples here, but one of them that I saw that was really powerful was by Gymshark, the founder. And these founder stories are becoming more popular. Now, it was on his personal account. His name is Ben something. I'm sorry, I can't remember the last one right now. But if you even just search, TikTok has amazing search capabilities. Just go search like founder of Gymshark and his account will come up. And I think it was a pinned video with like 6 million views. And it was a photo carousel telling his story, right, of how he founded Gymshark. So founder stories, very, very popular. That's a great way to adapt it to TikTok culture.
You mentioned real quick, kind of a follow-up question, that they're different than Instagram carousels. So can you explain what's different about them and how you can use them maybe differently than you would on Instagram?
Well, they're different because, again, you know, they're more authentic, right? They're just kind of random photos. A lot of times in the photo carousels, the photos that you're showing don't really have to, unless you're telling a story, but otherwise they don't really have to make sense, right? Related to what it is of the video. There's a lot of photo carousel trends right now as well. So, you know, on Instagram, like I said, they're more aesthetic and curated, you know, often, you know, these Canva graphic style things, whereas on TikTok, they're random photos. So even, you know, if you were to go look at the account Glow Recipe, I noticed they're using a lot of photo carousels. If you look at the photos, they're not professional images of their products. They're kind of look like they're shot with an iPhone. And they're like explaining in a photo carousel the new collection or how to use this product. And it's just text on screen with a bunch of photos. So that's how they feel more real and authentic.
Gotcha. So that, I mean, honestly, that can, you know, free you up a little bit that you don't have to feel like, I know a lot of people struggle with Instagram because they're like, I've got to get this special aesthetic and set up ring lights. Mm-hmm. And if I can just use stuff on my camera roll of my dog, well, then maybe I should try some of that.
When we're talking about, you know, posting these things and trying these things, we obviously want to see success, right? And we want to know that what we're putting our time into is giving us a result. We're seeing some sort of success metric. So to that end, Wave, measuring success on TikTok, beyond just you post something and it gets views and it gets likes, what are some things and how should business, I guess, measure their own success on TikTok?
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on your goals. You know, I think a brand like Ryanair or Duolingo, brand awareness is probably their biggest thing. So their metrics are more based on views or profile visits or impressions. If conversion is your goal, it can be a little bit harder to track, you know, organically without using paid ads, but you could try doing some sort of promotional codes on organic traffic to test out those conversions. A lot of times I hear from business owners and brands that they see a spike, huge spike in sales after a viral video, and then it drops down. So, you know, it's not, you don't always have that consistency, but those, again, it comes back to the goals and what you're looking for. One thing I do want to recommend is look at your TikTok analytics. I can't believe how many people I meet and like never look at their TikTok analytics. Like, it's all about the data. Like, what? I mean, it tells you, it is a gold mine of information in there. It tells you so much good stuff about how your video is performing, and you can use that to tweak and change your content.
Did you have a follow-up question, Connor?
No, I love that. I've used it before, especially to see what my audience actually is, right? Because you might have in your head, oh, my audience is this persona, right? And then you look at the data and you're like, whoa, was I wrong? But that can also help you create content that will resonate more with your unique audience.
That's a great point. So I'm really big on repurposing. I love repurposing content. I love to put it out everywhere so people can watch it wherever they want to. So can you actually repurpose trends off of TikTok to use on other platforms, or do they not, like, they don't play well together? What are your thoughts on, like, you see something on TikTok and like, oh, I'm going to try that for YouTube Shorts. Does it work? Does it not? I'd love to know your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. You can repurpose. I will say, you know, when Reels first launched, It was pretty much a copy of TikTok. Mm-hmm. Over the past few years, I feel like it has, it's created its own culture and video styles on the app. So some of the trends will translate over to Instagram and some of them won't.
Gotcha.
So it all just kind of depends on the trend. So certain types of trends are more popular on some platforms. And, you know, Instagram even kind of comes up with its own trends. So you can certainly try and experiment. As for Shorts, I hope, you know, there's nobody here from YouTube listening. I'm really sorry to say this, but Shorts is pretty much a copy of TikTok. Most, like 90% of creators are just reposting their videos. Mm-hmm. Shorts is really trying, though. They are trying. They are pushing, they're like working with a lot of artists to create platform specific trends. A lot of them just unfortunately are dance trends, and it feels very 2020 over there because, you know, dancing was really big in 2019, 2020 on TikTok. You don't see it very much anymore unless it's a specific dance account. But they are trying, they're creating all these trends, working with artists and creating dance trends. And then other than that, a lot of the TikTok trends just get copied over there as well. So I don't think Shorts has its own unique culture. That could totally change if TikTok goes away. But unfortunately, the Shorts app just does not have the same capabilities as the TikTok in-app video editor or the Reels in-app video editor.
I would just want to follow up that, but you don't see anything wrong with posting on other platforms your content that you created for TikTok? Because, for example, so I know I started my whole thing on Pinterest, and I went to your Pinterest account, and you seem to be repurposing a lot of your stuff because I know it long-term traffic, it's really great over there. Is there anything wrong for repurposing your content? Does it hurt your account any way?
I don't think so. I would just say, again, I think I mentioned this earlier on, is that it works for some people and it doesn't work for others.
Gotcha.
I have seen a lot of students who repurpose their stuff to Instagram Reels and it just completely flops. And then other people, it does more on Reels than it does on TikTok. So you have to experiment and kind of see what works for you. I did experiment with repurposing too. And those Pinterest videos you saw are like super old because I have not had a lot of luck with repurposing my own content because it's so TikTok specific.
Gotcha.
And I feel like right now the platforms are at war. Instagram doesn't push out anything that's like about TikTok, the TikTok tips. Shorts doesn't really seem to. So I actually have to create more content that is more general short form video tips. And I sometimes just don't always have the means to do that or the energy to be creating more content for other platforms. So at the end of the day, you have to experiment. I see a lot of people do it. And I personally think it kind of looks really bad. I see like a lot of, you know, big Instagram influencers or something, they're reposting it to TikTok. And I can see it's just reposts and they're putting no effort or energy into that platform. You know, we're always telling people you don't want to post and ghost. So, you know, this is key on TikTok. Like if you're just posting and ghosting, you're probably not going to do that well. You need to engage, build community. It's hard to do across all your platforms.
Yeah.
So it's very rare I see repurposing work, you know, for a creator across, you know, 3 or 4 platforms.
You know, I think we think of TikTok a lot as we get that engagement when we entertain. It's a entertaining platform. But Wave, you said, you know, time and time again, how educational content can be highly engaging on TikTok. I think TikTok even had an ad series on TV that was like, oh, where'd you see it? I saw that on TikTok. I learned that on TikTok. Like you hear that all the time. Yeah. So how can brands identify these, you know, unique educational opportunities that they can create TikTok content about to boost their engagement?
For sure. You want to check out this new tool in TikTok that was released mid-March. It's called the Creator Search Insights Tool. All you have to do is in the search bar, type that out. And then it will pull up a little picture and a button, tap on that. What it's going to do is show you what people are searching for on TikTok, and it will show you related to your niche. It will give you a percentage of how many people are searching this. So TikTok search on TikTok is amazing. The capabilities of the platform blows me away. And it has been building up for the past few years. So they just relaunched this tool. You can actually, one thing else I love about it is your analytics have been updated with search traffic. I can now see which videos are bringing me traffic from people searching certain topics. And it tells you where you're ranking, how many clicks and impressions you're getting. So you want to check out this tool, see what, you know, it also has some other settings where you can look and see what your followers are searching for, what's been searched for in your niche, trending topics in your niche. It is absolutely amazing. That's going to help you, right, create content and determine like what educational content should you be making that's going to answer their questions and solve their problems. So check it out, Creator Search Insights Tool.
That's an awesome tip. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. Yes. Everybody's just like, okay, write that down. So, and Chris Stone said, yes, social media is social. Great point on not posting and ghosting. That, regardless of any, whatever platform you're on, that is super, super helpful. Yeah. And then Gary says, yes, one needs to set a time to work it in. Yeah, that's the thing, is trying to figure out what works and how to do it the best way possible. And I think we all feel that pain there, Gary. So, and this kind of, it kind of rolls in from what Gary's comment is, Wave. I kind of want to talk about, you know, content authenticity versus production quality. So in your experience, what matters more on TikTok? Is it authenticity or is this high production quality and the amount of content that you're throwing out there? What works the best?
Authenticity all the way. Now, I'm not saying you can't make high production quality content. You absolutely can. And there are people who are successful with that. But the general vibe of the app is being real, being in the moment. This is why you see so many viral videos of people sitting in their car, just talking to the camera, talking, you know, telling a story that of something that just happened to them. Or, you know, you see people lying in bed. Like it's not curated in that way. People resonate with that type of authenticity. And I think this is going to be more and more important as more AI is brought into social media. I feel I'm totally pro AI. My husband has an AI business and I love AI tools and experimenting with all of them. However, I don't use it in a lot of my social media content. I just feel like it's not authentic enough. I have used it for, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but I used it for like some welcome videos and things in my courses. But there was one time I wanted to do like an upsell on a funnel and I was like, oh, I could just do this with HeyGen and it would be so easy. And then I thought, I can't. I don't think people will buy the upsell if they see my avatar just talk, you know, with the short 1 minute video talking about it. So yeah, as more and more of that coming in, I think people are going to push back and look for more connection with personality and community and connecting with real people, because there's just a lot of distrust and not knowing what's real and what's not.
And we've talked about this on this show before too, is because of all this AI stuff, people may become a little less trustworthy. And that's why I love live shows and podcasts, because there's something very, very authentic about being in somebody's ear. You know, being able to pull up questions like Justin Stout, who owns an amazing AI company, Magi. Did someone say AI? So he always chimes in when we say AI. But like AI can't do that right now. Like they're not going to be able to pull up a comment. So I, once again, and this is me on my high horse too, is the more authentic.
Getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think in the same way with TikTok, like there's going to be those AI generated TikToks eventually, or if they're probably already right now, but those
they're
are
already there.
But they're probably not going to move the needle. Like, no, but I bet they're not going to move the needle like you getting on there and, like you said, telling a story.
They don't. And I have looked at this. There are a lot of these accounts doing AI generated content and they don't perform very well. There's only one account I've seen that is absolutely crushing it with AI. And that's because he makes these like AI, he tells stories and it's like a little movie and he makes these like really crazy mythical creatures and they're short little stories. So yeah, that's working. It's storytelling. But a lot of the AI, other AI generated content I see there is just not performing.
So final question, this is for my daughter, I'll bring up. And we kind of mentioned it a little bit and we kind of talked about this before the show, before we hit go. But what are your thoughts on TikTok Live? You mentioned, you know, because she, Abby says it feels like the Wild West on there. And so what are your thoughts? Is that something that you should, can you just do lives on TikTok and that's it? Or should you have a mixture of TikTok content and then do some lives? What are your thoughts on, you know, this whole Wild West of TikTok lives?
There are creators who are only live streaming. However, I would recommend creating content as well. Live streaming, it is the Wild West on TikTok. You will see everything. There's all kinds of different types of things, things that are kind of more comparable to Twitch, like the video games, and there's these battles and stuff. But for business owners, very, very powerful to live stream on a regular basis. Be consistent with it. It is the best way to build community. It is a great way to funnel people, get them into your funnel, whether you're promoting, you know, an event like a webinar, getting people to sign up, your lead magnet, a Facebook group, whatever it is you're doing. It's also good for selling. I see a lot of product-based people selling on TikTok. So there's just so many different ways that you can use it.
Awesome. Connor, do you have any follow-up questions? I mean,
I do. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great stuff. This is good. Yeah, many things that I have to go back and take notes on because I can't take notes because I'm pressing buttons. But Wave, I want to let people know where they can find you. You mentioned some courses that you have. The floor is yours. Tell people where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yes, you can find me at my name at Wave Wild on all the platforms. It's the same. You can check out my website, wavewild.com. I do have a really great guide, 9 short form video formats that you can make in 10 minutes or less. If you're new to content creation, you want to check that out. It's linked in all of my social media profiles. And I also have a membership program, monthly membership that has 50 plus trends per week, monthly masterclasses, so much all dedicated to TikTok.
Awesome. And I downloaded her guide. It is amazing. So you want to make sure to check that out. And it's spelled WAVEWYLD.com, Wave Wild. Go check that out. Make sure you sign up for that free download of the, I think, was it 9 you said? 9 short form?
9 short form video formats that you can make in 10 minutes or less.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So go check that out. Thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate, you know, Gary is always helping us out, saying remember to thumbs up and to share. We appreciate Gary for doing that. And he loves your name too. He loves the name Wave Wild.
Thank you.
And it Angel is says, my real name. It is.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And then Angel says, great info. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure that you share this out with people who you think would find it helpful. We are also a podcast. You could find that. Just go to your favorite podcast player and type in Social Media News Live. And we'd love it if you subscribe and share that out. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for watching. Bye now.
Social Media News Live.